What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Stacking Slabs. This is your hobby content alternative. I'm your host, Brett McGrath. I collect sports cards and have a podcast about collecting sports cards. And what a week it was last week. I have never, nor has this show ever in the history of its damn existence, done four straight days of free content just for you, the people out there. We're doing it for you. We're working hard. That was insane. It was like rinse and repeat every day, but just enjoyed doing it. I love this. I love building, creating content, thinking about sports cards, collecting sports cards, fusing those two worlds. That is why I have been doing this damn thing for 4 years and just feel like we're just getting started. This is the Wednesday episode. This is the flagship edition of the show. This is where I come on and talk about what's going on in my head around collecting sports cards. What am I doing? How am I thinking? What people am I talking to? Those sorts of things. This is the foundation of all of this. In today's main segment, what we're going to be closing this episode out with is we're going to talk about just like the different eras of collecting and the different eras of cards and just some thoughts and conversations that take place across collectors in different eras. And it's just a topic that I think is relevant. It came to me in a conversation I had earlier this week. So we're going to dig into that diversity in the hobby, the melting pot of this hobby. It is a wild, strange, great, all the adjectives type of place, but we're going to dig into that. I mentioned having conversations, and I just want to say from the top, there is so much value that I get on a regular basis from having regular conversations with other collectors. And one of the benefits of doing this all the time is that I get to spend an hour, two, three, maybe even 4 hours a week just having conversations one-to-one with other collectors and sharing those conversations with all of you. And although I produce a lot of content and put a lot of those conversations out the door, my mindset is always take a step back and reflect on those conversations and not think about what I'm doing here from a transactional perspective. Oftentimes, I've talked about the benefit I get as a collector, not a creator, but as a collector from spending time having those chats. There's always something I'm left thinking about. And I hope, and this has been my goal of these damn episodes and this platform, is that when you're tuning in, it feels like you're right there. It feels like you're part of the conversation. That is always my goal. I think when we have conversations with other collectors, it can be through stuff like this, right? Through content, where I get to come on and share my experience, or other podcasts you listen to, you're listening to the experiences of the creator. It doesn't have to be through content, though. It can be online, which there's so many conversations that happen regularly in collector circles online, through group chats, in the comment section, through one-to-one DMs. It can happen at hobby shops, right? The hobby shop, and I'm not like blowing any smoke up any of your asses, I truly believe that the hobby shop is the foundation for all of these conversations and the learning and the education. And we are going through a significant time in our hobby with so much change that the one constant will be the hobby shop and its role. And I think it's just a great place to go, escape, and have conversations. Hopefully you enjoyed that episode we put out on Tuesday last week with my man Jameson, Port City Sports Collectibles. Once a month, he's going to be joining me, and we're going to be talking about hobby shop topics. It is the hobby shop plays a key role, and if I can help elevate the role of the hobby shop through this platform I'm building, I think that's a really good thing. So also want to just say, if you are listening and you are a hobby shop owner out there, I appreciate it. I really appreciate what you do for your not only local community, but also for just the space in general. I don't think the role of the hobby shop owner gets elevated enough. And that is part of what I'm trying to do through my collaboration with Jameson. So shout out to all you hobby shop owners. You are providing a place to facilitate the right types of conversations in your brick and mortar location that we should be striving for as we move forward. So I mentioned through content, online, hobby shop, and also at shows. I, having two kids, two little ones, and having my weekends be the busiest part of my week when they're at home, I unfortunately don't get to go to as many shows as I'd like to. I think locally here in Indianapolis, the show scene has been, it's really good. And I wish I could get out to more shows. There's regular local shows. There's the Midwest Monster that's been a fixture in our area, which I'm hoping I can get to the next one. I'm trying to plan ahead. But I think shows are just such a great place, too, where you can have conversations. And, you know, there's this mindset where you go to shows and you feel like you need to buy something to get value or you need to sell something to get value. Like, that isn't necessarily true. I think that's the additive part of going to shows. But really, to me, the value of going to shows is those conversations, is those relationships. I got some time this week where I don't spend a lot of time on YouTube. I just don't. And especially sports card YouTube. I just don't. But every now and again, I'll just like peek my head in and see what's going on. And I watched both of Ryan at Card Collector 2's videos from the Ship Shawana show. And it gave me so much energy because I'm not someone who gets to go to a bunch of shows, but just to see the conversations and just to see the deal making and how everything works, I thought it just gave me a lot of energy. And so I think shows are a great place to have these conversations. Conversations are currency. It's how things get done. It's how relationships get built. When you plant the seed and you have a conversation, it literally can lead to your grail card if you are nurturing those things. People like to help other people, especially like-minded people in the space. So I'm just so passionate about conversations because it's been the building blocks of why we've done Stacking Slabs. Let's have freaking conversations with collectors. Let's bring them to you. Let's get inspired. Let's get fired up. I think like conversations and really good conversations build and develop and creates community. And I think, like, don't get me wrong, I think community is a term that gets way overblown. It is a term that means a lot of different things to a lot of different things. For me, I value community, and it's the reason why I built this show and I'm trying to develop this platform even further. I'm really fired up about what's happening here, what's happening in the hobby. I have a mindset of I am so satisfied and enjoy creating content. There's so much awesome shit to talk about on a regular basis that it just gives me so much energy. And I think when we're talking about conversations, we're talking about community, inevitably one of those topics that comes up is influence, right? We've got this negative term in the hobby, which is influence. And I think like influence, when used to deceive, is not a great thing. Influence, however, is undeniable. And whether we like it or not, we are all influenced by specific people, things, entities in the hobby and outside the hobby. It's just the fact of life. I think, though, the right influence can be inspiring. And when we get the right influence and we're inspired in the right way, we begin to do the things that we really like and make us really happy. I've referenced this. You can dig back in the archives. But one of my favorite books as a marketer is influenced by Robert Cialdini. And he talks about just like foundational elements of influence and foundational elements of human psychology. And I just think it's a good read. It's kind of dense. There are, you can look it up and you, I'm sure you can find spark notes of it. But, you know, he covers things like reciprocity and being able to give a little something to get something in return. He talks about commitment and, you know, people want to believe, people want their beliefs to be consistent with their values, social proof. There's nothing like feeling validated based on what others are doing. Things like authority, things like liking, things like scarcity, which are so important in the way we collect and think about things in unity. And if you feel included in something in a community, you're more likely to participate. I think we look at specific people and call them influencers, and we look at that thing as a negative. If you're sharing your passion on a regular basis and you have a following, it's likely you're influencing someone and you might not even know it. And it doesn't necessarily need to be negative. I think with community, you're surrounding yourself with people that you want to learn from. And that is what I think is very important. And what I'm trying to do is build and develop a really fun community with regular, consistent, collector-focused content. And this is where I got to plug my Patreon group. Shout out to everyone in that group who is supporting the Stacking Slabs platform, enjoying the regular drumbeat of group content, digging into the group chat, all those things. I've been having a blast in that area and also producing regular content in that space. So if you want to support the Stacking Slabs podcast, and if you want to get more exclusive content from me and connect with other collectors, I'm going to just plug it. Go check out the community. Link is in the show notes. Shout out to my awesome partners, Card Ladder, who is basically helping power a lot of the content, data partner of the Stacking Slabs podcast. My man, Nick at Wharf Sports Cards. I hope you're enjoying Auction Talk. I'll tell you what, there is not a show on this main feed that I get more feedback on, and we've just done two episodes. The Auction Talk conversations are longer. We're covering a ton of ground. We're talking about active cards. We're talking about players. I'm having a blast because it allows me to think a little bit differently about the content we're delivering. And Nick is just such a phenomenal partner. I'm a big fan of Nick. I'm a big fan of what he does. I send my cards to him for consignment. So I would, if you're looking for a consigner, I'm going to be biased here. I'd say go use Nick. Go give him a shot because he's a good dude. And if you're enjoying Auction Talk, hopefully you're going to do that. And then also I plugged my man Jameson at Port City Sports Collectibles. Just love, like, it feels like I'm talking to someone who's kind of like starting from the ground floor, and he's done year one and moving into year two. So I think you're going to learn something there. So shout out to all of those amazing partners for helping make this Patreon thing a thing, and appreciate all of your support. I want to shout out a collector from the group who you're going to hear from this Friday. On these Friday conversations, we have been digging into different topics and lanes that I think are underserved. We talked last week to Seth, Soccer Card Corner, and maybe not underserved in general, but underserved on this platform. We talked about soccer a week ago or 2 weeks ago. We talked about women's basketball cards with Caitlin at Cold Lunch Cards. So I don't know. I was just like, it wasn't intentional, but the more I have been thinking about those shows, it's the way it falls. So I'm going to shout out my man Brooks at LSU Tiger Collector 65. Brooks is going to join me on Friday's Collectors Conversation, and we're going to talk about college cards. One of the themes that has been a part of my conversations with Nick on Auction Talk has been just like this Bowman Chrome U rage, NIL. And I think college cards have a place, and maybe a bigger place than they've ever had before. But I'm going to talk with Brooks, obviously by the handle. He's a massive LSU collector. The name really says it all. I love the way he collects. He's into college cards, but he also collects players from LSU. So it is just so fun to like just look at his page and be like, oh, wow, all of these athletes, all of these guys, they're all LSU Tigers. So I'm really excited to bring that conversation to you on Friday. Don't miss it. And there's been we started the Don't Collect Running Backs movement. We might be starting the Don't Collect College Cards movement too after that one. So be on the lookout. College cards rule, especially if you have an alma mater or you're deeply connected or rooted into a team. Just because the mainstream says these cards aren't going to go up forever doesn't mean you can't collect them. Let's talk about different areas of collecting, which is the primary topic that I want to get to and has been something that has been on my mind recently. So I did an episode with my man Chris. They know him Chris Hoge in the community, Chris McGill. We had a conversation that I put out for the Patreon group this weekend, and the conversation was around research, but we got into this side tangent about in research and how different researching a player PC looks like today as opposed to in the 90s. And we talk about 90s basketball collectors versus ultra modern basketball collectors, and we talk about where there might be some rub. And that was like a light bulb in my head. I was like, yeah, they all collect basketball cards, but the worlds couldn't be any different. I think about this all the time with wrestling cards and the diversity of wrestling card in the community. You have people that collect wrestling cards, but you have different eras within wrestling cards, whether it's, you know, vintage, modern, ultra modern, shiny, serial numbered, people collecting based on grades. Like, it's just, it's a melting pot. And so there are different eras that we collect, and those different eras drive different opinions. I think conflict presents itself because all of the different variables that exist and that are in play. We're all collecting the same thing, but we're all collecting very different things. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but let me say it again. We're all collecting the same thing, but we're all collecting very different things. When you think about the way a vintage collector collects cards, the process, mindset, mentality, approach couldn't be any more different than an ultra-modern collector. Sure, there are elements that cross over, but vintage collectors, the catalog of cards is different, right? Sometimes it's just one card. So you're thinking about the appearance of that one card. You're thinking about the grading of that one card. And so that approach is a lot different than maybe an ultra-modern collector who appreciates different elements like the shine that a refractor brings, like low serial numbering, manufactured scarcity. And because the way a vintage collector approaches vintage cards and based on the limitation of the catalog, it's probably going to look a lot different than an ultra-modern collector who has not just one of one, but 100 one of ones to go after. And so it's an understanding there of, because there's so many one of ones, what are the products that I care about? What are the products that matter? And what are the one of ones in those products that are going to be on my list that I'm going to proactively go out and pursue? That's just an example. Vintage collectors will say there's too many parallels, vintage collectors will say there's too many parallels, but then the ultra-modern collector will say, you know, like I just mentioned, I have a desire to find the parallels that really matter. Ultra-modern collectors might say, well, like, who cares about these just base cards? Well, the vintage collector might say, I want to be on a quest to find the cards of the legends in the best conditions possible. There is a tone of disrespect and conflict that pollutes collecting circles because of a diversity of opinion on what people collect in those different areas that they collect in. The way I do it is better than the way you do it. I don't understand why you collect that. That doesn't make any sense. I collect this. And so we just see it online. We see this conflict. Mine's better than yours. Yours isn't going to be as much as mine, that sort of thing. To me, that just seems extremely narrow-minded. There's a melting pot of interests and styles in collecting, and that, to me, is what makes this hobby so special. Conflict isn't always a bad thing either, but when it takes away from the fun of collecting, I think it's time to check yourself. Oftentimes, I have these conversations and I share these thoughts, and I'm like, how do we drive action in real time? What do we do? I don't know. As I'm thinking about this episode, closing this out and this topic, which I don't think it's going to be the last time this comes up, and I'll probably think about ways to hit it from a different angle. But I think what's one thing I'm trying to do is I'm trying to start following people who don't collect what I collect. And this can be different eras, different sports, different players, you name it. You're seeing this play out in real time on the Friday episodes. A lot of these conversations are going to be about stuff that I'm interested in learning more about, but I don't necessarily collect. And I think sharing that type of information is really good. It helps you, no matter what you collect, and make sure that you don't feel like you're constantly operating in a bubble all the time. I love sports cards. I hope you love sports cards too. I think you do if you're spending time listening to me ramble on about them. This is your hobby content alternative. You've got Auction Talk coming at you on the other side of this, and then we've got Friday Collector Conversation with my man Brooks. If you want more, there's more. Just check out the Patreon group. Until then, we'll talk to you soon.